guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you deal in sports takes, they're often wrong. You know, you win some, you lose. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. And when you're wrong and you hear about it on Twitter, you know, to me it sounds like, oh, how do you like Tebow now, Felger? You know, or, I guess Tim Thomas can win a championship, Felger. And so, you know, we have fun with that here on the program because you hear it a lot. Again, when you deal in sports takes, you win some, you lose some, you're right, you're wrong. Sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't. It's just the way it goes.
It's part of the industrial take complex is what it is.
Thank you. Exactly right. So what I'm about to give you now, Boston, is I think one of the most prominent examples of that I've ever heard in my life. And we've heard it from everyone. You hear it all the time. I don't know if I've ever heard it like this. I don't know if I've ever seen or heard of a team that has done this.
Right. This isn't a fan. This isn't a listener. This is one of the teams.
This isn't a Twitter troll. This isn't a Twitter follower. This isn't a caller to the radio station. This isn't even now and then you'll hear a player, you know, post game say, well, how do you like me now? Or, oh, I guess I can hit the inside fastball. Like, you know, every now and then you'll get a little, or a coach will say, you know, I heard a lot of you people saying this guy couldn't do it. You know, so every now and then you'll hear a player or a coach, it's just sort of aside, give you a little. I don't know if I've ever heard a team center a complete marketing campaign around it, though, and that's what I'm about to give you. Okay, so what you're about to hear on the radio at 98.5 The Sports Hub and view on NBC Sports Boston is the Bruins postseason marketing campaign. It's their commercial. Okay, this is a commercial. And they were, I'm going to say kind enough. I put that as an air quotes, kind, because after you hear it, you're going to realize it's not that kind, but they were kind enough to let me see it a while ago. So I've known what's coming. And this is a commercial. Like they've done some great commercials over the years. Like remember the beer commercials?
Oh, all those beer commercials were awesome. Okay, I wish they would still do them.
Slaps the beer out of the kids' hands with the Canadiens jersey like that. Okay, so this is a series of these commercials that they're going to run. And I'm like, oh, okay, so they're just going to run on the stadium, right? Like, no, they're going to run everywhere. Oh, they're going to run everywhere. Like TV? Like, yeah.
All across New England.
Like Nesson? Oh, yeah, it's going to run in Nesson. It's going to run everywhere. So this is their commercial campaign heading into the postseason. And if you're listening, you'll get the gist of it. If you're watching, you'll get the full gist of it. But here's the Bruins marketing campaign for the playoffs this year. Go ahead, roll it on both.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around and don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
Oh, that's a great spot. You're getting mean mugged by Pasternak. They're showing goals by Charlie McAvoy. And at the end, it says, listen to no one.
Too young.
You know what that's a glorified version of? What's a 30-second version of?
How do you like our young players now?
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys.
Oh, and they do a number on me, too. They do a really good job. Like, I feel like re-rolling the whole thing for the TV people, too. Like, re-rack the whole thing.
The visuals are awesome.
Well, because, again, it's like, I think they're too young. McAvoy scores. There's too many kids running around. McAvoy staring right into the camera. You know, I think this team's going nowhere. All the team, like, with their hands on this, staring at you. Like,
I think they're done.
Like a gang down an alley.
I think the Bruins season is over.
So, again, this isn't, you know,
this isn't Sean Thornton just chirping you. This isn't Shane Victorino a couple of spring trainings back saying, yep, Maz.
Right,
not one singular player.
This ain't Dan and Quincy, Mike and Woburn. This ain't, no. This is the Bruins and their entire marketing campaign. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to see it again?
The organization.
Yeah, suck it, Felger.
See, this is the whole organization and their entire campaign is surrounding a faulty take. Go ahead, do it again.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. young. Too young.
They're running that on Nesson, really? Are they going to run that on Nesson?
Oh.
Too young. Too young.
Are they gonna put Felger all over Nesson? Are they going to do that? Are they really going to do that?
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
Jimmy, you think Dale will appreciate that commercial?
How could he not, Mike?
Because Dale's probably one who thinks that hurts me. Like, because Dale still, after all these years, still doesn't get it. But do you find the final message there a little ironical, though? Again, what's the final scene?
Listen to no one is the thing that...
I think the Bruins season is over.
And then they tell you, listen to no one. Do you find that oxymoronical? If that's even the right word, you know what I mean? You find that?
Well, I mean, so the spot runs.
Wouldn't
in a way...
you just say that they were listening?
Yeah, because the spot runs in a way that it's like, okay, this jackass that was spouting off about this team, he's motivated us, especially these young players who were flashing in this 30-second spot, but listen to no one, so...
I think they're done.
All right, it's been a hell of a season for them, but I would think you'd want to keep listening, young players like Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak, so you continue to be motivated to have a really good postseason.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
I just find it a little oxymoronical. Wrong word, I'm sure. How about just...
Probably not even one.
Ironical. That they would center an entire commercial saying, listen to no one, using the track of a talk radio host for 25 years.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys.
McAvoy scoring, yeah. Pasternak, Dipsy Doo, Dunker, like, oh, just brutal McCone.
Too young. Too young.
This will teach you, McCone. Just keep your mouth shut. Just don't say, just save it. Don't say anything.
Well, we've all kind of fallen into this trap, I feel like.
Like this?
Oh. Oh, do you have these at the ready, Jimmy?
Yeah. This is going to test that whole Brady process and the Brady theory in your book. So good luck, fella.
Yeah, I mean, as a show, we kind of all haven't really looked that great. In terms
Question
of-
is, your football team, Maz, how do you feel about it?
Not great. Am I supposed to feel great? They are more vulnerable at this time of year than they have been in other years. It might be the fact that they're short on weapons in some ways, at least in the passing game. But again, bottom line for me, Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
Yeah, threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl. Yeah,
on the way to 14-2 in the Super Bowl.
MVP year. Yeah, we've all, you know, you live by the take, you die by the take.
So good luck, fella.
Yep. Right. Yeah, was about time you got yours, apparently. But...
Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
So that's
young, too young.
So that's that. That's coming to Nesson. That's coming to your scoreboard. That's coming to your internet feed. That's just coming.
A big bear paw right across.
So
your
there
keister.
It is. I just got spanked in the ass badly.
So good luck, fella.
Okay. So whatever you want. We start with Red Sox. You win on Kyrie Irving. The Bruins last night. This stuff. Whatever you want. Again, right to your reaction after this here on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blood force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young. Too young.
So, yeah, maybe I jumped the gun on that one a little bit. They better win now. They better win. They better not be one and done after all of that. But your thoughts. Bruins, Red Sox, little Celtics, whatever you want, we'll go right to you. Here is Scott in Weymouth. Lead us off on the Bruins this hour. Go ahead, Scott.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Two quick comments. First about Donato. He's under contract. I don't want to hear about his school.
Thank you.
Once you sign a contract, school goes out the window, kid. You can't have it both ways, all right?
Agreed.
All right. Secondly, the Bruins are stalling, Felger. I'm telling you right now.
Careful. I think they will record your ass, Scott, and play this right back.
Bring it. Bring it. Because mark my words, Felger. Give me a minute here, please. This team, they're youthful. They're fun. They're exciting. They're a great regular season team. The playoffs are about toughness, grit,
Scott,
and experience, and
Scott,
they have none.
Scott, they also
this
don't have...
going out in round one, Felger.
They also don't have Bergeron. They also don't have McAvoy. They also don't have Chara. They also don't have Backes. They also don't have Rick Nash.
Felger, let me ask you a question. Don't dump yet. Right now, two questions, please, and you can let me go.
Go.
What is their record in the last 10 games?
without all those players?
Oh, just a question. I don't even know.
I'm not sure. 5-5 would be my guess.
What is it? 5-5?
It's a guess. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either. Secondly, if the playoffs started today, who are they playing? Who's their seed?
Toronto.
Who?
Toronto.
They're going out in five, Felger.
Okay, Scott, again, they will record that and throw it right back in your grill mix, pal. You get that, Bruins? Scott in Weymouth. I think that was his name. Scott in Weymouth. I want to see the spot on him when you advance.
I think they're done.
When you advance to the second round, I want to see the commercial.
You can't judge how this team has played overall and with all these guys out.
Impossible.
Right now.
If they were all in, if all those guys were in and they were playing like, you know.
What you saw in December and January, that's what they are.
No. Well, I hope that's what they are. I'm just saying, in this last little stretch where maybe they flattened out a little bit, if they had a full lineup and were flattening out, then maybe I'd give that to them. Six of your best players are out of the lineup. What are you talking about?
By the way, before you go to the next call, I was off by a month. You declared the season over on what looks like October 16th.
I think that's reasonable.
That was the day after the loss to Las Vegas 3-1.
Well, who the hell listens to the radio on October 16th on the Bruins? Oh, I guess the Bruins do. I guess they do. Oh, you know, this is interesting. Andy, you know, heretofore, I don't know that Bob and Easton would know the difference between a hockey puck and a hamburger burger, but here's Bob and Easton calling on the Bruins. Isn't that interesting timing? Hi, Bob.
You know, Felga, it's the Bruins. This is like Christmas, Thanksgiving, every great holiday for me, okay? Because, you know, Cam Neely just made my Mount Rushmore of Boston sports figures. And if you don't think Cam Neely had anything to do with this, you're a moron. Thank you for using your fraudulent, idiotic, moronic statements, cold takes on your show, and using it against you and using it for the team to pump them for the playoffs. Finally, you know, the Red Sox take note on this, because the only one that would be better is if they played Peter Gammon saying, Michael, watch the game.
So, they came to me. I told you about this. They came to me. Go ahead. What do you got?
Finally, we get to live vicariously through the team. I don't even know what vicariously means, but I know I feel it.
Congratulations, Bob.
So, like I said, they ran it by me several weeks ago, so I knew it was coming. And they said that, you know, we tried to recreate it. You know, we wrote a script, and we tried to, you know, sort of recreate the same feel of the thing. Just with, you know, with the script and a voiceover guy, and we just couldn't do it. I'm like, right, you could not draw up a more wrong take. I mean, so well delivered, and you know, the whole thing. Like, you can't duplicate
strong
that.
Strong conviction.
No, yeah. You can't. No, that's...
Well, you needed that real audio.
I think the Bruins season is over.
It's got to be from the heart. You can't write that stuff. You can't...
I think they're done.
You can't duplicate that stuff. That's got to come right from the talk radio.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
The horse's mouth, or ass, if you will.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys.
Ryan in Manchester. Hi, Ryan.
Shelgi.
Yo.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I had to tell you, you're actually taking it in stride from when you originally kind of played the ad. But, you know, you are the number one sports commentator in all of New England and for Bruins Nation. So people listen. You said what you did, and look at them now. Listen to no one. I think it's great. So, and the thing is, you didn't say they needed to improve this, that, or the other. You said stick a fork in them. Like the season's over. I mean, come on, man. I just think it's a true, worthy Boston response. But I got to be honest. I got to admit it. I didn't have them winning anything either. So.
Oh, well, we could go there if you want. I mean, sure. I'm sorry.
I think they're done.
October 16th?
Yeah, so the game was it was on October 15th, Sunday, October 15th. They lose to Vegas 3-1. Looked like they were skating in mud yet. And on Monday the 16th, you declared the season over.
Okay. So again, I guess I jumped the gun there a little bit. I was wrong. But I don't want to go around and track what everyone else was saying on the 16th. I don't know. How many people on the 16th do you think had them, vying for the President's Trophy?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, I know a full month later, when they start that West Coast road trip, the one that Rask ends up getting benched on, they lose to Anaheim, and I said they probably won't win for a month.
No, but but watch the thing. And again, this ain't no bit. This ain't no 98.5 The Sport's a bit. This is
Hardy didn't put this together. This is an actual conversion.
I think they're done.
No, Bob and Easton's right. Neely put this together. This is the Boston Bruins.
I think the Bruins season is over.
This is their official marketing campaign. This is not just a straight Murray, not a straight coach or player after the game going, blah, I guess we don't suck. Blah.
Too young. Too young.
No. This is a full-on campaign. centered around a faulty take, a faulty sports take on sports radio. No, that happened. CP and Quincy with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, CP.
Hey, boys. First time, long time. First of all, I can't wait for the Red Sox marketing campaign of Jackie just shooting you daggers for 30 seconds once that starts. But, no, I'm agreeing with you. He's the odd man out here, but you're going to probably tell me to do this on my own time. But isn't it valuable to have a good fourth outfielder, especially because they play, you know, 15 months a year, and having that defensive replacement off the bench is going to be a good thing.
CP, I said this earlier. If Jackie Bradley's your fourth outfielder, you've got a really good outfield.
You're in good shape. I mean, he can run down anything, and I have no idea what Martinez's defensive capabilities are, but they can't be better than Bradley. So, yeah, you know, take Martinez out and tie in games and put him in.
Well, I mean, Bradley's not your fourth outfielder. It's just they have to shoehorn Martinez into the outfield because he wants it. And, again, I keep thinking it just reads to me like they promised him that he could play the outfield. The problem is you got three starting outfielders, so something has to give. And if it gives... If it gives where they're taking out Benintendi or Betts,
oh, no, you can't do that.
That would be disgusting.
You can't. And you would actually have a case, I think, with Benintendi to take him out because of his defense. If there's one knock on his play right now, like sometimes he's misplaying balls or misreading things, like that's been one of the knocks on his game overall. But you can't do that because he's too important of a player. I would just look, okay, yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. is your fourth outfielder. You got a hell of a team. But is he willing to accept that role, especially when he feels like he's been slighted the last few years under John Farrell?
So there's a little bit of managing to be doing here by Alex Cora, right?
Yeah.
We've got Joe in Rosendale on Tuukka Rask. How are you feeling about him recently, Joe?
Hey, Fat Face, you hear that coming? It's the train to Poop City, okay? Tuukka Rask, I hope they listen to this. The mayor of Poop City, they should have put a video of him letting a beach ball at the end of that thing with diarrhea coming down his leg. That's the train, baby. Hop on. We're going to Poop City.
So Joe is not high on Tuukka Rask's prospects here heading into the postseason. Again, I'll just tell you the last 10 games, Tuukka Rask has a 3.29 goals against and Anton Hudobin's 2.5. In the last 10 games, Tuukka Rask has a .886 save percentage and Anton Hudobin has a .907 save percentage. I'm not telling you here play Anton Hudobin over Tuukka Rask. I'm just telling you that.
What about for the 10 remaining games?
Yeah, you're going to have to spot Rask. You have to rest him, because I guess he needs it. I guess he needs these blows and these whatever. I guess he needs it. I mean, something has to reverse it. And I think, you know,
I'd play him three games, tops. Three more games. And that way there, I feel like you would have him fully rested for the playoffs, and you can't use that as an excuse, because it's looked... Look, the last game that he played, the five goals that he gave up, three, you can even make a case for four. They were bad deflections. It was a tough night.
Agreed.
For him. But overall, last 10 games, this sample size, Hudobin's been better.
Right. So, I mean, I just didn't give you one game. We go back the last 10 games. The puck's been going in the net against you. It has been. And if you want to defend Rask, you can say, well, he hasn't had McAvoy, he hasn't had Char, and he hasn't had Bergeron, he hasn't had so-and-so. True. Half the lineup is out. But when they put in the other guy, the puck doesn't go in the net as much. And that's just a fact. That's the way it's been here over the last 10. And even if you want to extend it over the whole season, they're pretty much dead even. Save percentage, which I think is more important than anything, Hudobin has them. Hudobin has a .917 and Rask has a .916. Goals against, Rask has him by a little bit, .248 versus .235 for Rask, .248 for Hudobin. But it's close. And I think their winning percentage is almost identical. So, this is what I thought was wrong with the commentary when Rask was going well, and the team was going well in the middle of the year, that it's like Rask carrying them. It just wasn't.
They've almost been one and the same, really.
They've been the same team no matter who's been behind the pipes, which tells me it's not the goaltender, it's the team.
One of the reasons I don't feel that freaked out about it either is because of Bruce Cassidy, because if it starts getting squirrely on him, even if it's just in a game or two in the first round, he'll sit his ass down.
Yes.
He already proved that in November. Like, all right, you know what? I don't care about how much you make, what your name is, how good you're supposed to be. Sit.
How bad does it have to be to sit Rask?
In the postseason?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they lose two games back-to-back, and it's like 4-3, 4-3, 5-4, something like that. He's getting his ass sit right down. I don't doubt that for a second.
Okay, and I think that's a good thing with this coach versus the old one. I think this coach would be more willing to do that. I mean, hell, I think, you know, again, my unfortunate comments there came before they made the goalie change and before they changed. I mean, that's what changed everything, was benching Tuukka Rask and playing Anton Khudobin, and that sort of turned that whole season around, this whole season around, in mid-November. So we're continuing with your Bruins thoughts. We started Red Sox, still have plenty of that action on the board. You want to weigh in on the Celts, by all means. Murray's got a few things on the Patriots that have crawled right up his tailpipe. We'll get to those, of course, coming up. But here's an update from McCone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to add a comment. I mean, I'm okay with him missing the first class, but it's not unheard of this happening and teachers being willing to work with you if he wants to play for the Bruins and also finish his degree. I have no problem with that. I mean, in fact, I covered a story recently where Colin Larkin, who left UMass Boston, is now playing in California and is actually working with his teachers to, do his class, do his schoolwork remotely. And then come back here at some point to finish his work.
So I have to tell you what, Sean.
What's that?
Well, let me just say, I say with all the love and respect in my heart for the Donatos and the education in this country and the great institution of Harvard. I could give two poops about Harvard and his classes and his degree. I don't care. I'm not. We're this is the Bruins station. We're Bruins fans and media, and we care about the Bruins. I think it's great that he's well rounded, and it's all that stuff on your own time. And if he had to take a day or two when he first signed to square all that stuff away, okay.
Yeah, because everything happened so fast. But now you're a professional, so you have to focus on this. Deal with the school in the offseason.
I don't want to hear him missing anymore for class.
No, me either.
Right? Like, if he misses any more after this, it would sort of bug me. It wouldn't sort of bug me. It would bug me, as a fan or a follower or a media guy of the Bruins. Never mind the Bruins themselves.
And as you mentioned, even though he had a goal last night, kind of looked a little bit gassed. Was that because he missed that practice because he's running around the halls of Harvard like, oh, I'm going to catch up with my professor.
And flies in late. He didn't fly out with the team. He went to class and then flew in late to St. Louis, so he missed the practice that day. And again, he scored. It wasn't like he was a disaster, but he wasn't quite the same guy that he was the night before. Maybe he was a little gassed after all of that, and the reason he was gassed is because he was running around trying to square away all the school stuff, which is fine. One day, fine. Anything more than that is going to be like, dude, what are we doing? What are we doing? If it's that important to you, and that's fine if it's that important to you, then just stay in school. You stay in school. You have to come out.
Otherwise, take those Fs. We all have, and figure it out later.
Mary in Marshfield, your thoughts on Tuukka Rask? What's your confidence level there, Mary?
Oh, hey, kids. Oh, well, give me about a case of Pepto-Bismol, and maybe Tuukka will make it through the playoffs. I don't know anymore, but I feel like that was definitely a little message from Cam just for you, Felgy. It's definitely a love letter from Cam to you, but it was the best spot I've ever seen, I have to say. But as far as the Bruins, though, like the month of March, they're 12 games, they're 8-4, and they only have 2 regulation losses. So they still, have got the point.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried, especially where they're playing depleted. So I don't have a problem. I just feel like Cassidy has to be ready to pull Tuukka when he has to. And that'll be the difference in the playoffs, I believe.
So I'm with you. So they're 8-4, and they're even winning with all these injuries still. The only thing that concerned me, and Rask is a part of it, but he's not the only part, is some of these games where it's been, 4 against, 5, where they've had some of these games here where it's been a little loose.
Yeah.
Starting with the D back to the goaltender. And that's, they're skilled, but they're not the Chicago Blackhawks. They won't survive with goals against like that into the postseason. So that's my concern. However that's happening, goaltender or in front of them, whatever. That to me is the issue. Martin on the Cape on the Bees. Hi, Martin.
Hey, Mike. If the Bruins go one round and right out of the playoffs, you'll get some retribution, no doubt.
I'll come up with my own commercial. You bet.
But, Mike, either it's ironic or it's not. You sound a bit moronical when you use non-existent words to the English language, such as ironical, to make your point. Just because Professor Maserati isn't in today doesn't mean you can revert to slang over there, Mr. Radio Communications Specialist.
Yeah, I've used a couple words. Oxymoronical definitely couldn't be a word, nor is ironical. Is ironical a word?
No, it's not.
I don't think either are. But you know what I mean. Frank in the office on the Red Sox. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hi. I just have a question. What is the fascination with Sandy Leone? I mean, why wouldn't they just take Blake Swihart over him and not waste the spot?
Because they think Swihart can't catch.
One game a week? Here's what's going to happen, I guarantee it. The first 10 days of the games of the season, Leone will hit a game-winning home run like he did last year, and I was at it, and I was pissed. And that'll cement his place in the Red Sox for the whole year. It's just idiotic. It drives me nuts.
Okay, so I don't mind Swihart not catching.
He's not going back to that position. They didn't think he could do it defensively.
That's not the issue, but he should be on... there's
his with his bat, he should be on this team.
He should be on the team over Brock Holt. He should be on the team over Devin Marrero. He should be on the team over Zhuwei Lin or who, you know, who's ever down there. It's about time the kid stays in, on the major league team. And you see, I mean, who knows? It felt like the last couple of years that it was a waste. He was never going to amount to anything, and you just sort of it just wasn't going to happen. But here's like sort of a last chance. Just see if he's a real late bloomer. And he absolutely belongs on the team. He doesn't have to catch, as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like the organization almost owes it to him. I mean, none of us actually are, you know, owed anything in life. But considering how they've handled it, they screwed it up at catcher. They put him in left field. He ends up, you know, going for a ball and blows out his leg. And then now the kid can hit. He's having this good spring. Like, he should have an opportunity here.
We've got, who do we got here? How about Phyllis in Lynn? Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, hon. I just wanted to call you and say a few words. I was one of the Bruins fans that listened to your remarks in October. And I loved it because all they need is a little motivation. And you definitely have motivated them.
Definitely
so
have not.
Keep the good work.
Okay. All right, Phyllis, you're keep welcome. You're welcome. Definitely did not motivate him. The coach motivated him. The coach changed the goalies, which sort of started the whole thing. And, yeah.
And up until recently, you got healthy, great seasons out of Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron and your veterans. You have this mix of rookies who are ahead of schedule. Like, you know, yeah, maybe they could hear this and chuckle a little bit and they can have some fun with this commercial. It's the coach and the mix that they have on the ice.
Oh, but make no mistake. If you see it, they did a number. They did a number on me. It's really well done. Well shot, well edited. The whole thing, just soup to nuts. It is.
They couldn't.
I think they're done.
It is really solid work on their part. They did.
I think the Bruins season is over.
They did a good job.
The Bruins couldn't have posted that on their social media and their Twitter account fast enough.
Well, no, it's.
It went up here and then bang, it went up.
Well, the timing was. Well, whatever. I knew this was coming.
Too young.
I woke up this morning knowing it was coming. So, but you know what else? You know what puts me in a good mood? You know what puts me in a good mood, McCone? Jimmy, give me the play-by-play, and I forgot to ask you for it. Just give me, you know what happened last night
in
Pittsburgh, do you?
One win in their last 15 road games, two in their last 20 road games, and they have lost four in a row tonight. Penguins beat them 5-3. So they put up a fight, but in the end, as has been the case so often, Canadians just don't have enough.
Oh, the Canadians. I was going to say, who's that? Oh, it's the Canadians. The Canadians lost. You know who was eliminated from the postseason last night, McCone?
Be Montreal.
So it's a yearly tradition here.
Au revoir.
Olé, 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 olé.
It's a yearly tradition.
Olé, 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 olé.
Second time in 3 years, right?
So I just looked it up. The Montreal Canadiens this century have missed the playoffs 8 times. Well, since 98-99, so I'm scaling back 1 extra year. But since 1998-99, over the last 19 years, they've missed the playoffs 8 times. 8 times. That franchise, that fan base, that fills the air with their farts and their, you know, superiority complex, is now basically in the modern era, basically a 60-40 chance to make the playoffs. Like a 50-50 sort of. They're like a bubble playoff team. That's what they've become. And I'm not even going to start with the Claude people. Like, because again, as I think we've proven today, you win some, you lose some, you get some right, you get some wrong. So I'm not going to dump on all the hockey writers around here that were giving me the Claude business. DJ, you get a pass because, you know, like I said, you win some, Chris Gasper, you win some, you lose some. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. So I'm not even starting with the people, with the boohoo Claude crew. All right. I'm not even going to mention that.
No, you just hate this franchise. You hate their fans.
Oh, my God. If there's ever a group of people who I just think are bad people, like I do, am I wrong to think the Canadiens fans are just bad people?
No, they're snooty. They're definitely snooty. There's
something about the culture and the ethic up there that I think is just, it's rotten. I mean, like, first of all, again, I always get fixated on the language thing. I mean, they're players and coaches. They demand to speak French. Like, they care. They care. It's like open, blatant, sanctioned, not racism, but nationalism. I mean, it's...
Oh, nationally. Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely just what it is.
Well, what language do you speak? Well, then we'll consider you. Not whether you can play. Are you good or are you bad? Or will you help the team? Will you hurt the team? What's your last name? Well, so anyone who... And they do. Their coach has to speak French. So it does... you know, to me, I would want to, I don't care if the coach was from Zimbabwe. I don't care if my coach was from Mars. I don't care what he spoke. If he could coach, he would coach, but not in Montreal, McCone. You have to speak French. So just, like, that's just something rotten about that culture. But then again, just their overconfidence, their air of superiority, their arrogance, you know, thinking that they invented the game when they won all those cups, when the fact was there were only six teams and they got the best player every year anyway because it used to be a regional draft. And so they got all those French-Canadian players just because that's where the team was located. And they only had to beat out five other teams. And so they've amassed 24 cups or whatever it is, 22 cups, however many it is. And so they think they invented the sport. But since the league has added teams, and since it's all now a level playing field, they're a borderline playoff team, not even a championship team.
They won a cup in, what, over 25 years, right?
Their last cup was 92-93. Last cup was 92-93. They traded, you know, no one's bigger than the organization, McCone. So these a-holes, this is an organization that will trade Patrick Roy, only the one of the top three, four goalies in the history of the game because, what, he snipped at the president one day during a game? He walked behind the bench and, you know, reamed out the team president standing behind the bench.
That year they won the cup. It was him. It was like him and Bump.
Of course.
Right?
Of course. Or they trade P.K. Subban. Why? Because why again? Does anyone know?
I think it's had something to do with that hospital that he donated all that money to. And he didn't. There was something about that, if I recall.
Well, no, I mean,
he never mentioned the team. At the big press conference, it was just like all about P.K. Subban and the kids. Never mentioned the Montreal Canadiens.
No one is bigger than the team. A-holes. Oh, so, you know, I mean, they deserve it. Every time they don't win, every time they fail to clinch the playoffs, we have a little ceremony here on Felger and Mazz. It's the Montreal Canadiens elimination party. So, once again, the Montreal Canadiens, I won't even get to Claude. I'm not going to do that today. Once again, the Montreal Canadiens will not be advancing in the postseason. They won't even make the postseason. We're not even in April, and they've been eliminated. Okay, that does make me feel better.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Donato, the rookie, scores again last night in St. Louis. I don't know how good he was in the whole game, though. And again, Pierre McGuire and the NBC crew did a decent job even sort of pointing it out. He left some plays on the ice there. That's a stupid cliche. But he had a couple scoring chances that he couldn't corral the puck, was maybe a little tired. I don't know, didn't look quite the same as he did the game before. Maybe that's related to the fact that he had to stay behind, or he didn't have to. He chose to stay behind and was allowed to stay behind on Tuesday and go to class at Harvard and then fly in to St. Louis at night. So he wasn't on the same routine as the players, and maybe that sort of caught up with him in that game, which is, you know, something we've discussed here, which is the Donato-Harvard thing, which is a cute story to this point. I would say from this point forward, if he misses even practices for Harvard stuff, that's going to be aggravating. That's going to bug me as a fan or a Bruins follower.
Once you signed that deal with the team, that's where your time has to go. Figure out your school stuff, you know, when the season's over.
That being said, the kid can shoot. And I think it really opens up an interesting lineup possibility for the Bruins there. I mean, it's all season long, it's been Krejci and DeBrusk, and now Rick Nash on the right side, and that we thought was your second line going into the playoffs. There you go, locked and loaded. But does Ryan Donato, is just sort of a gunner, just a shooter, fit better with that group? DeBrusk is better, you know, I think. Well, Donato's pretty quick too now, so I don't know. But I just, as a purely
good problem to have,
as a pure offensive threat down low, I think Donato's it just feels like overnight is a more superior player, a bigger threat. So, as we mentioned yesterday, that means DeBrusk is either going to be demoted or sat, and then you really go to the next one and say, well, it's Danton Heinen who is demoted or sat, and so that's. There's some nice little competition there, so those guys have all got to play well, and you should get more out of everybody. But at the end of the day, I wonder if DeBrusk just lost his job. I wonder, because I think Donato is a better fit there.
Why do you automatically go to him over Heinen?
Well, and so when I say job, I mean job on that line. So Mazz brought this up yesterday. He's probably right, that you would then probably put DeBrusk over Heinen on that third line with Riley Nash and Backes, which was so good for so long this year. But they're going to... You know, the one thing with these injuries is they're going to have to maybe do that on the fly a little bit as you head into the postseason, where they're not going to really have a long time to sample that thing. They're going to have to just sort of do it on the fly. But, you know, Donato, I think, deserves power play time over DeBrusk right out of the chute. I mean, who do you want sitting there on that faceoff circle?
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that you can look at as a silver lining with all these injuries, and that Cassidy has, you know, a little bit more opportunity to kind of play a shell game as to where to put these kids, you know, the 10 remaining games before the playoffs start.
Okay, we have breaking news for you folks, so sit tight here.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Ian Rappaport just tweeting out that the Patriots have re-signed offensive tackle Adrian Waddle on a one-year deal. Could be their potential Nate Solder replacement.
I don't hate it. I mean, I would have hated to lose either him or Fleming to the Dallas Cowboys. Otherwise, it's Matt, as of right now to me, it's Matt Tobin, who used to be on the Seahawks, which has been a sieve of the offensive line the last 3 years. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not Nate Solder, but I'm glad to hear this.
We have a policy on the program, on the breaking news sounder, to hit the button first and ask questions later. And there, I think you're seeing a pretty good example of it. Adrian Waddle, it kind of constitutes breaking news. Adrian Waddle.
Ladradian Waddle. Can I hear that again? Ladradian Waddle.
Very good, Hook. I don't know.
Adrian Waddle.
Why do I feel I still want Marcus Cannon over there? Why do I feel like I still
he's a bigger body.
And I just feel
Cannon's a moose.
He's a more proven player and Skarnecki's guy, and I don't know.
But in spot duty, Leandro Waddle was actually pretty good last
year. Ladradian Waddle.
We'll see. So they're going to patch it in one way, shape, or form. It's going to be patched together there at the most important position on the offensive line, and one of the most important positions you can have on a football team is your left tackle. And it's either going to be a rookie, it's going to be a second-year player who missed his whole rookie year in the Garcia kid that they drafted in the third round last year.
At least he's got medical clearance, though. That was actually a plus.
Okay, so, but I'm telling you, your 41-year-old all-time great quarterback is going to be protected either by a rookie, basically a rookie, Adrian Waddle or Marcus Cannon, or Tobin or
Ladradian Waddle
or some other sort of fodder that they get here on the wire. So they are, I mean...
Oh, I still would feel 100 times better if it was actually Nate Solder, but considering, I mean, I'm glad to hear that he's back in the fold here.
I mean, let me tell you this, that unless they pull a surprise with the trade, the fact is they're going into the season at left tackle with an unproven player, with Tom Brady at 41 and all in and blah, blah, blah.
And this is why I thought signing Solder or re-upping Solder was the second most important thing they had to handle this offseason behind Gronk, who is still out in the wind.
So that is a big, so that's a big ask. That's a big ask, whatever, you know, however that shakes out, to have a player that profiles like that at left tackle with Tom Brady being what he is.
How's Hook pronounce that again there, Jimmy?
Nicholas Haljamarson.
Jarmelson.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.